Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I want to tell you about Ia Natsir, a copper merchant who lived almost 3,800 years ago, whose name has unbelievably survived due to a written customer complaint about the quality of the copper that he sold. Going back almost four millennia means that, generally speaking, you have to have done something pretty bloody special to be remembered. You know, you have to be someone like Sargon of Akkad, the world's very first emperor, or Hammurabi, who instituted one of the oldest codes of laws in human history. Episodes 214, 215, get across them. These are the sorts of people that history remembers across such vast distances of time. Except, it seems, in the case of Ia Natsir, who was a contemporary of Hammurabi, and is remembered not for his world-changing deeds, but for selling copper of unacceptably inferior quality. You might have heard about the story of Ia Natsir and his unlikely infamy almost 4,000 years after he lived. It's a terrific tale. It's a very, very amusing story indeed. And it goes to show that throughout the entire span of human history, as strange as the ancient world would be to us today, as alien as the modern world would be to the ancients, there are some things about humanity that have never changed. For instance, shonky merchants and complaining customers. They were around 3,800 years ago, and they're still around today. So let me explain what's going on here, right? Around the year 1750 BC, we don't know exactly when, but at least around, and that's our best guess. Around 1750 BCE, a bloke named Ia Natsir lived in the ancient Sumerian city-state of Ur in Mesopotamia. Now, today the ruins of Ur are located in modern-day Iraq on the Euphrates River, around halfway between Baghdad and the Persian Gulf. And this Ia Natsir, he was a reasonably well-known copper merchant in Ur. He was a member of a guild of merchants. It was very common back then for groups of merchants to put together collective voyages, I guess you could say. They would pool their resources and fund trips to other destinations, places like the island of Telmun, right, modern-day Bahrain, where they would go and buy copper in large quantities, bring it back, sell it, and split the profits. Now, this was something that Ia Natsir seems to have done as part of this guild of merchants. However, it does seem that Ia Natsir generated a bit of a poor reputation for himself after coming back and selling this copper throughout Ur. He does seem to have been a bit of a dodgy bugger, a bit of a shonky businessman, if his customers are to be believed, that is. And we're going to focus in particular on one customer complaint specifically that Ia Natsir received. But I will say, you know, let me tell you this, it certainly wasn't the only one. Multiple written complaints about Ia Natsir and the quality of his copper have survived through to the present day. So it's really not looking good for our mate Ia Natsir. He really does seem to be guilty as charged here. Because if these complaints are to be believed, Ia Natsir, he bought copper of a decidedly low quality from Telmun, brought this copper back to Ur, and sold it on to customers, taking their money in exchange for what he promised would be fine quality copper. But the copper was not, as it turns out, of the fine quality previously promised, leaving one customer in particular feeling very unhappy with the transaction as it had taken place. This customer, a bloke named Nani, then made his feelings felt to Ia Natsia, and back then, you know, it's not like you could go online and leave a scathing one-star review on a business page. You couldn't get on social media and spread the word about this dodgy copper merchant, you know, try to get a review bombing campaign or a boycott going. No, all Nani could do was write a sternly worded letter of complaint to Ia Natsia himself, detailing how upset he was with the quality of the copper he received, as well as his displeasure at the fact that his money had not been refunded. And to make things even worse, it seems that the people working for Ia Natsia, the people that Nani had to deal with, did not treat Nani particularly courteously while this whole business was taking place. Can you believe it? What sort of business was Ia Natsia running here? Obviously, he didn't pay any attention to a little thing called customer service. Outrageous. More seriously, right, in the grand scheme of things, Ia Natsia sending Nani a load of poor quality copper and then refusing to refund his money, this is not the thing that should ever have been an event of, you know, great historical importance. But remarkably, improbably, it has become just that, due to the fact that the written complaint that Nani wrote has survived, more or less completely intact, right through to the present day. And what's truly remarkable about the complaint is that, honestly, it could, in terms of its meaning and tone, it could have been written today, in the 21st century. As I mentioned before, the world 3,800 years ago would be so unbelievably foreign to us, completely bereft of so much that we take for granted these days. And I'm not just talking about, you know, cars and smartphones and four-slice toasters. I'm talking about something as simple as, I don't know, a hot shower. The overwhelming majority of humans, a truly staggering proportion, almost every human ever to have lived, never had a hot shower, something that you or I have, I hope at least, more or less every day. So for a customer complaint like this to have been written 3,800 years ago and still read like something you might see on Yelp these days, it shows us quite clearly that ancient humans had many of the same problems and issues and concerns that we do today. I don't know. As amusing as this whole story is, I also think it's quite special, actually. Our lives are so different these days. Our priorities, our values, our hopes and our dreams, never mind things like language and culture, but all the same, thousands and thousands of years ago, there were still rip-off artists still trying to get one over their customers. There were still customers complaining about poor service. In the same way that you might take to the review section to let people know just what you think of a business these days, old mate Nani, he got out the clay, he got out the stylus, he sat down to let Ia Natsia know exactly what he thought of this poor quality copper. Using ancient Akkadian cuneiform script, Nani inscribed a moist clay tablet with this letter of complaint, and once it had dried, he sent it on to Ia Natsia for him to read. But look, that's enough of me talking about this. Why don't we let Nani speak for himself? Here, at last, is a full translation of this tablet, translated by historian A. Leo Oppenheim in the 1960s. Here it goes. Tell Ia Natsia, Nani sends the following message. When you came, you said to me as follows, I will give Gimli Sin, when he comes, fine quality copper ingots. You left then, but you did not do what you promised me. You put ingots which were not good before my messenger Sitsin and said, if you want to take them, take them. If you do not want to take them, go away. What do you take me for that you treat somebody like me with such contempt? I have sent as messengers gentlemen like ourselves to collect the bag with my money deposited with you, but you have treated me with contempt by sending them back to me empty-handed several times, and that through enemy territory. Is there anyone among the merchants who trade with Telmun who has treated me in this way? You alone treat my messenger with contempt. On account of that one trifling mina of silver which I owe you, you feel free to speak in such a way, while I have given to the palace on your behalf 1,080 pounds of copper. And Umi Abum has likewise given 1,080 pounds of copper, apart from what we both have had written on a sealed tablet to be kept in the temple of Samas. How have you treated me for that copper? You have withheld my money bag from me in enemy territory. It is now up to you to restore my money to me in full. Take cognizance that from now on I will not accept here any copper from you that is not of fine quality. I shall from now on select and take the ingots individually in my own yard, and I shall exercise against you my right of rejection, because you have treated me with contempt. Whapam! Look at that! Nani is not taking any more nonsense from Ian Nasir. This shonky copper dealer, he's been put on notice, mate. He'd be quaking in his footwear, I guess. I don't know that the ancient Sumerians actually had boots, do they? Anyway, no idea. Whatever. That's Ian Nasir told, isn't it? That's him put in his place. Oh, I bet he's going to buck up his ideas after being excoriated like this. Or perhaps not, exalted listener. Perhaps not. We are admittedly moving into the realm of guesswork here. I'd like to say educated guesswork, but honestly, this is going to get a little more speculative than we usually get on the show here, but it's worth it. If you'll come on this little journey of speculation with me here, you'll find that the story of Ian Nasir and his copper gets better and better, funnier than you could have possibly imagined. First of all, consider this. For this tablet to have survived almost 4 millennia, a few things had to have happened. And the most important one is this. Ian Nasir, after receiving this tablet of complaint, he had to decide that it was worth keeping. Just think about all the junk that comes through your letterbox, right? All the mail that you get you don't want goes straight in the recycling, doesn't it? You're not keeping most of the letters you receive. Well, interestingly enough, the situation in ancient Sumer was very, very similar. These clay tablets were, in a very real sense, they were recyclable. Once you were finished with a letter inscribed in clay, you would generally take the clay, you'd wet it to make it soft again, form it into a new tablet, and reuse it again to write something of your own. Kind of like how we recycle paper today, although it's a little bit easy with clay, as all you need is water. You know, a bit of water. If the clay hasn't been fired, you can just wet it, squish it together, and reform it into a new tablet. So, Ian Nasir decided not to do that with this complaint from Nani. And what's more, right? Remember how I said there are actually multiple complaints about this guy that have survived? Yes. These multiple complaints were all found in the same ruins of the same house in Ur, which, archaeologists guess, probably belonged to Ian Nasir. So, not only did Ian Nasir not get rid of the complaint he received from Nani, he kept it and others as well, which may indicate that he was actually quite proud of them. Maybe he reveled in being a shonky copper merchant. Maybe he pulled out the complaint tablets when his mates were over for a drink. He, you know, read through them, have a laugh at all the people that he'd ripped off. But believe it or not, it gets even better than this. You know, you're not going to believe this next bit, right? Clay, as I've already sort of touched upon, is not a particularly durable substance. It's soft. It's extremely vulnerable to water damage, obviously. It's not made to last. Certainly not 3,800 years. But wait on. Hang on 1 second, you're saying, right? This can't be true, right? What about all the pottery and whatnot that we have from the ancient world? Plenty of that has survived, right? So what's going on? What are you saying? Clay isn't durable? Well, yes, this ancient pottery has survived because it was fired. It was fired clay. Clay that had been heated up to the point that it underwent an actual chemical change, hardening and becoming tougher and more durable. And these tablets, these complaint tablets that Ian Nasir received and kept, they are, in fact, fired. They are made now of fired clay. So, This raises a new question: how and why were they fired? Thinking about it reasonably, there are only two explanations that immediately jump out to account for the fact that these otherwise unfired clay tablets ended up being fired, right? Number one, Ianatsia fired these tablets himself. He loved his hate mail so much that he went out and fired these tablets so he could enjoy them forever. This would be a bit like me printing out the emails I get from unhappy listeners and laminating. No, it wouldn't be like that, because a laminated bit of paper isn't going to last 4,000 years. This would be like me laser engraving these emails onto sheets of steel. There we go. Then, you know, now they're going to stick around for the long haul, won't they? Alternatively, if it wasn't Ianatsia who fired these tablets himself, if he didn't do it deliberately, it may have happened accidentally. They may have become fired when, stay with me on this one here, when Ianatsia's house burnt down. Now, why would his house burn down? This is the question we have to answer. Of course, it could have been an accident. Fires start for all sorts of different reasons. Maybe he left a fork in his four-slice toaster. Who knows? Or, alternatively, it could have been a deliberate act of arson. But who would want to do such a thing, you may wonder? Why would someone want to burn down Ianatsia's house? Well, can you think of anyone out there that might have had, say, a grudge against the bloke? Someone who may have felt cheated by this shonky copper merchant? Someone who felt they may have had a bit of a score to settle with Ianatsia? Whatever the case, if it is true that Ianatsia's house burnt down, it also means that it burnt at exactly the right temperature to fire the clay tablets inside it, just so we could continue to have a laugh at these millennia-old customer complaints that Ianatsia had hoarded here in the 21st century. Of all the billions and billions of people to have ever lived, all the names and the identities of these countless humans that have been lost and forgotten, just as your name and as my name will one day be forgotten too, we still somehow remember Ianatsia the copper merchant. I say your name will be forgotten, maybe it won't be. It's never too late to follow Ianatsia in his footsteps and become a dodgy copper merchant yourself. Maybe your customer complaints will stand the test of time too. Anyway, one final little thing here before we wrap it up. This complaint tablet was rediscovered by archaeologists only a century or so ago. It lay in the ruins of Earth, undisturbed for thousands and thousands of years before finally being excavated by this team of archaeologists in the 1920s, 1930s, and ended up in, would you like to guess where the tablet can be found today? Of all the places it could be, of all the places it might have ended up, can you guess which noble historical institution ended up with the tablet in its grubby little paws? If you today want to go and see Nani's complaint to Ianatsia with your own two eyes, all you need to do is head along to Great Russell Street in London and pay a visit to the headquarters of the greatest art thieves in history. Yes, indeed, exalted listener, Ianatsia's complaint tablet can be found in the clutches of none other than, who else, the British Museum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.